Welcome to What She Said. I'm your host, Lucy Lucroft, a freelance journalist and blogger from London. Each week, I chat to awesome humans about their journey to where they are today, and we share lots of blogging tips and tricks too. You can hear the entire back catalogue, as well as new episodes wherever you listen to podcasts by searching for my name, or searching What She Said, or you can go to my website, wanderloose.com. And if you want to come say hi online, I'm at Lucy Lucroft on Instagram or Twitter, or over at my blog, wanderloose.com. Enjoy the show. I know I have a lot of fangirl moments, but this one is a massive one because this week I had a chit chat with one of the first bloggers that I ever followed, Anna Newton of the Anna Edits. I've been following Anna since way back when she was blogging and blogging under her old name, Viviana Does Makeup. She's a YouTuber, podcaster, blogger and an all-round awesome human. We chatted about how she managed her side hustle with a full-time job when she knew it was the right time to quit, and why she's taking things back to basics with her vlog. If you want a giant boost of inspiration, this is the episode for you. Hello, Anna. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We were just having some fangirling offline.
We've already been chatting for about 15 minutes.
So for anyone that doesn't know who you are, would you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your blogging journey so far?
I'm Anna. I'm 28, from Brighton. I feel like that's such like a blind date thing to do. So I originally had a blog called Viviana Does Makeup, which I started, it gets a bit foggy with dates, but I'm pretty sure it was 2010. So I was a university student studying at the University of Nottingham to do a psychology degree, which is obviously completely random and not particularly related to what I do now. And I sort of realized that in order to go further in psychology, I would have had to have done a master's or a PhD or kind of continued further education. And that just wasn't for me. My 3 years were enough. And at the point, I was just like, oh, I'm super into beauty. I've always loved makeup. And I'd like beg my dad to take me to Claire's Accessories so that I could buy blue eyeshadow at the weekend. So always loved makeup, always was super into it. Wouldn't mind if I got like accosted by a benefit counter girl to go and have like a full face of makeup done in boots. So I was like, yep, this is the dream. And I kind of just discovered, I can't even remember like whose blog it was first or sort of how I stumbled upon it, but I sort of just weirdly discovered this online beauty world. People like Tanya Burr, Pixie Roo, Lollipop 26, as she was then. Zoella, I found her blog, and I sort of found all these blogs, found all these YouTube channels, and just thought, you know what the hell? Like, I'm gonna do it. So I set myself up on Blogspot back in, I think, March 2010, and then September 2010 started doing YouTube videos. And basically the rest is kind of history. I blogged and took videos quite consistently for maybe the rest of uni, the next couple of years. And then I graduated and I worked in a call center for 2 weeks. I was like, I just need to have a job out of uni. So worked in a call center, lasted 2 weeks, and managed to get myself a internship for a beauty PR in London, and basically like commuted between Brighton and London, and sort of did the internship thing for 6 months. 6 months, I mean, that's insane. I was very lucky to have parents sort of help me out there, but I definitely owed them a lot back when I finally and managed to get a job out of that actually. And all this time I'm doing my blog on the side, and it was sort of helping me get these jobs because it could prove that I had a passion for the industry. You know, I enjoyed writing, I enjoyed creating things. And eventually it got to the point where my blog, I was getting a couple of sponsored pieces of work, advertising was coming in. It was making me money every month, but it definitely wasn't making me anywhere near an amount to live off of, especially by that time I had moved to London and, you know, paying a ridiculous amount of money for like a postage stamp. It kind of came to a point where I'd managed to get a job that would let me work part-time, so I could work part-time for them 3 days a week and then 2 days a week on my blog. And after my 6 month introductory period, they basically said, you need to do full-time or not at all. And I was, I cried down the phone to anyone who would listen. I did not know what to do. I wasn't making anywhere near enough to live off of at that point. But I just kind of took the jump. I took the risk. It was Christmas, you know, why not get the festive spirit out? And so I left my job, and I was very lucky to have my husband now, but my boyfriend at the time, sort of helped me out financially. And we lived very frugally for a good couple of years there. And then, yeah, that was about 5 years ago now, 5-6 years ago. And I've done it full time ever since. And I've been very lucky with it. It's sort of gone from strength to strength. I no longer have to live off of baked beans every And yeah, over the years, I've worked with amazing brands and amazing friends and feel very, very lucky to call this my job.
So going back to the beginning, and well, not completely to the beginning, but to the point where you were probably at critical mass, where you're working full time.
Yes.
You're blogging full time, you're vlogging full time, because you used to put out a huge amount of content, like a blog post a day and a weekly vlog. And yeah, still be working full time, right? What were the kind of biggest, I always call them the growth game changers, which is a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit of a gross way of saying, like, what were the things that helped, that pushed you along?
I was still working full time, and it must have been maybe 2 or 3 years into blogging. And I just said, okay, New Year's resolution, I'm going to blog every single day. Every single day, like Monday to Sunday, every single day a new post is going to go up. And I actually did that for about 2 or 3 years. There was a point where I was putting up 10 blog posts a week and 2 or 3 videos a week. I think it was 3 videos a week and 10 blog posts a week, which is kind of nuts. There's no way that with the way that I blog now, hopefully at the slightly higher quality that I blog now, I couldn't keep that going. But that was the moment where everything sort of clicked, and yeah, you know, I was able to make more of a living out of it, and my readership was going up, my viewership was going up. And so it is that age old, you know, you have to put content out there for people to consume, or else there's nothing to consume and your growth is going to. So yeah, that New Year's resolution was one I definitely kept to for a couple of years. And I'm really pleased I did that. If I hadn't done that, would it have ever even grown to the point where I could have gone part time at work? I'm not sure. So yeah, seven days a week blog post.
That's pretty epic. I don't think I've ever in my whole blogging life done that. But it's really good to hear somebody like you at the position you're in now say that was like a 2-year process. You know, you haven't just been doing this for a year, 18 months. You did 2 years of really hard slog while you were earning money somewhere else, and you were doing all of this pretty much for, I suppose you were earning money, but like you say, not enough to live off.
Oh, it was maybe £60 a month. You know, my Google AdSense would come in, and used to get it on a check.
And oh my God.
The bank and cash in at this £60 check. And it was like, the day of my life. I was like, this is amazing. This is unreal. I can't believe I've earned £60 through doing something that I love, through uploading YouTube videos. It was insane.
What do you think? Because I get the impression that your YouTube presence, having that simultaneously with your blog, meant a real shortcut for people to get to know you. Because although, yeah, you, especially in the earlier days, you were talking mostly about beauty before you started bringing in kind of lifestyle things, you really get a sense of your personality quite quickly. And because you're such a, you get, I think most people, my husband has followed along with me, and he's like, oh, I love Anna. She's so nice.
Tell him thank you. Tell him I said
hi. Do you think that played a big part in your success, because people just were able to get to know you through your videos?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I was going to say it's a triple threat thing, isn't it? It's kind of Instagram, YouTube, blog, but it's sort of not anymore. There's, you know, quadruple threat, like there's so many platforms to sort of spread yourself on. But that's what I've always enjoyed doing, is sort of you can write, and I really enjoy writing. I love that. But you're right, you get a real sense of someone's personality, who they are, you know, even their accent. It's strange sometimes, you might see someone's video and you're like, oh my God, did not expect them to sound like that, you know. More of a well-rounded picture of that person. And so personally, I always encourage bloggers to make YouTube videos if they have an itch that they need to scratch for it. It's not for everyone. It's, you know, a completely different ball game to blogging, but I do think it is nice to have that. And yeah, it's quite interactive as well. I feel like the comments that I get on there are kind of interesting and different to ones I get on my blog. you know, people just get to know you. And I really enjoyed that. That was a real moment sort of when I started making YouTube videos. I remember, I think my first ever video was a Sephora haul that included three items. And I was just overwhelmed with my three items. And then I got 100 like YouTube subscribers overnight, which was insane. And I made a video the next day to say thank you. my 100 like viewers. I'm so happy. It's a really nice community over there. And I love making YouTube videos. I get very excited whenever I put one out because it's the same. There's familiar faces in the comments. It's the same people commenting, and then new people will come along and will say like, oh, I've watched your videos from like 6 years ago. I'm like, oh, please don't watch them. Please. But yeah, it is nice to have that well-rounded picture of someone. I enjoy it as a viewer. I enjoy reading blogs, watching their videos, watching vlogs. Like, I love watching vlogs, just getting to know people and their lifestyles and what they get up to and what they're eating, what they're wearing. So it is, yeah, it's not, I find that really nice as a viewer too.
I think that's where Instagram stories as well has really come into its own, probably more than Snapchat, because people can look at your beautiful Instagram picture, but then also they can get a sense of who you are through Instagram stories. And I personally have found it a bit of a game changer for me, because I just could never do YouTube, but Instagram stories I can do. I love it.
It's quick, it's snappy, it's easy. I was going to say, actually, like, Instagram stories out of all the platforms right now is my favorite, because it's so easy to do. You know, you're not thinking about it. You're not like, oh, I really should Instagram story that kind of thing. It's just a very natural extension of what we do and what we're sharing. It's almost like a WhatsApp with your friends.
Yeah.
It's formal. It's very casual. And I love that. I think it's probably some people's Instagrams who I'd be like, oh, they're cool. And I follow it and I might engage with it a bit, but I'm not crazy into it. But actually, their Instagram stories, you get to know them as person. You get to know, like you said, the behind the scenes of the photo. And it's a whole different thing. And I find myself engaging so much more on Instagram, not even just in DMs with other bloggers or readers, but also commenting more on the pictures, liking the pictures more. It's a whole community over there. And I am so for it.
Yeah, me too. Instagram is my happy place, 100%. I just, yeah. There's never any, well, for me anyway, there's never really any negativity there. In terms of other platforms that have helped you grow your blog, has there been anything, because the listeners of this podcast just love a good tip or a trick that they can put into action. Has there been anything where you kind of hit on it and we're like, oh my god, this is amazing, how did someone not tell me this before?
Okay, I would say it probably hasn't necessarily come from any other platform. It's not like, oh, my Twitter pushes people to my YouTube videos or anything like that. I'd say it comes from the platform itself. YouTube is you're very easily discoverable on YouTube, whereas your blog, you know, people would have had to have, I don't know, searched for something and found an article that you've put up, or someone on another blog has put you on their blog roll, giving you a shout out or something like that. YouTube, you know, think how often you click a video down the sidebar of someone that you don't know, but maybe you just see a really nice thumbnail or see a title and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And I think for me on YouTube, the thing that was the game changer was vlogging. And although I don't do it as much these days, and I've never done it, I think I did it weekly for a while and sort of did a weekly vlog. I've never done it daily. Like, I hands up to the people who do it daily. That is very intense, a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
But I think vlogging allowed me to create content quite easily. It wasn't a video that I particularly had to think about too much. I didn't have to sit down, source products, you know, source outfits or anything like that. It was very easy, very simple to do. Easy to edit as well, you know, you're just putting things in chronological order and doing a bit of cutting. So it's quite an easy video to make, so it sort of bumped up the amount of content that I could put out, but it was also content that people really enjoyed. And I feel like the years that I was doing the weekly vlogs or blogging a little bit more were the years I probably grew the most, because yeah, people like vlogs. We're nosy as human beings.
Yeah,
we love seeing what other people are getting up to. We love seeing the behind the scenes. We love the mundane. Like,
yeah,
even if someone is like, you know what, this Method anti-back cleaner is the best. I'd be like, I saw a Sprinkle of Glitter vlog the other day and she was going on about a mop. And I was like, oh, I think I need I really do. And I think that there's that kind of voyeurism through the keyhole kind of thing that we all really enjoy. And so I'd say if you're struggling on YouTube, you're putting stuff out and you're not, you know, you're struggling to find people to watch it, maybe just turn your hand to vlogging. It's very popular on the platform. It always goes down really well. The feedback is great. The energy is great that you get back. And yeah, they're just always very popular videos I've found. So that's my tip. Give vlogging a go.
Okay. Give vlogging a chance, guys.
Yeah.
And there's actually loads and loads of different much easier ways to do things, I think, now than there used to be. There's an app for everything, isn't there? So you can edit in your phone and make it super simple.
You don't need a crazy camera, you don't need a big tripod, you don't need lighting, you don't need a big setup. You just need one of these vlogging cameras the ones that have the little flippy screens are very handy. My screen fell off of mine the other day. So much. But those are really handy. They don't have to be the most expensive one in the world. People vlog off of their phone. It's not about the quality. It's just about the person. And I think that's really nice.
What would your best tips for vlogging be in terms of putting together? Because actually, even though you're being very humble about it and saying, you know, it is easy, you're just filming yourself. Actually, I've definitely looked at somebody's video and thought, my God, yeah, that did they come up with that in a storyboard? Or I don't know, like, I don't know if I would look at the scenes that they've pulled together in the same way in my day, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I think the key with vlogging, and this is a tip that I've completely nicked off of Helen Anderson, because she's amazing at vlogging. She's like the queen of vlogging. And I was like, Helen, how do you do it? And she was like, I sit there at the beginning of the day and kind of think of the main event that I can kind of hook this vlog off kind of thing. So if I'm like, oh my God, my day is so boring, I've got nothing to do today aside from answer emails and cook dinner, I'm like, oh, I'll show my makeup routine in the morning, and that can kind of be the beefy bit of the vlog almost. Mm-hmm. Like, you can easily get 20 minutes of footage out of the day just through having a chat about what's going on and kind
That's
of
true.
Showing yourself cooking dinner. And so I think if you've got that main sort of hook that is interesting, makes it different to the other vlogs that you've put out, maybe it's showing a makeup routine, showing your skincare, showing what you bought at the supermarket that day, just like having a slight topic, a slight theme around it, I think is a really nice idea. And Lily's a big fan of this. Lily says, it's all about the B footage. She's all about from A to B. It's like, how have you done that? Instead of, because sometimes when I vlog, I feel like I'm saying, and now I'm doing this, and now I've just done that. And it sort of doesn't string together too well. She's really good at being like, okay, well, one minute I'm at my flat, the next minute I'm, you know, in the center of London. Like, how have I got there? How can I make that journey interesting? Are there some like B-roll kind of shots that I could put some music to? And I think it's about finding your style. I mean, we're not all Casey Neistat, and that's okay. Like, storyboard some of his vlogs. Like, he probably has a bit more of a grand idea about them.
Yeah.
Finding what feels comfortable to you and however it is that you enjoy putting them together.
Another thing that I really wanted to ask you was about sponsored content, because across all of your platforms, you obviously do some really incredible sponsored content. You have a lot of really cool opportunities, like going away on press trips and also trying out different beauty products, etc., etc. How do you, because I think you do this in a really non-icky way. I don't ever feel like, maybe it's because I've followed you for a really long time, but I think it's more about how you approach it. It never really feels like, oh, another sponsored post, you know, another hashtag ad or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have sorry, go on.
No, go ahead with your question.
No. Well, I'm asking you a question, then you're answering it, and I'm then interrupting you. No, you mustn't answer this. I'm going to keep talking.
I think when it comes to sponsored content, I'm really lucky that I have amazing managers. I work with the girls at Gleam, and I've worked with them for the last 5 years, I think it is now. So we've worked together for a really long time. And before they even come at me with something, they will pretty much know what I'm going to say. I'm very predictable with these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's always a gut feeling. It's, you know, they will say a brand. I don't want to know money. I'm not interested in that. They'll say a brand name. And for me, it's just very easy. It's very easy to know if it's a yes or a no answer. I like instantly have a gut feeling.
Yeah.
The other day there was something, fabric softener, and I was like, but is it, I can't remember what fabric softener it is that I use now. I think I use Comfort. I was like, if it's the Comfort Honeysuckle one, I am very into it because it's my favorite fabric softener. I've been using it for years and I love it. So for me, if it's a brand that I love and I use, it's instantly a yes. Or if it's an app or something that I'm like, oh, I haven't tried that, I want to try it. It's all about trying the product, like genuinely having a passion for the brand. And so, and then also what it happens with briefs a lot as well, in terms of the brief will come along, and I love working with brands who are just super cool in terms of you do whatever it is that you want to do. You know your audience best. You've been creating content for years. And the Bourjois video that I put up yesterday was literally like, we've got these lipsticks. Do you like them? Yes, I do. Can you talk about them in a video? Great. I could have made whatever video I wanted. And that is so nice to be able to work in that collaborative way with brands.
Yeah.
And so it is only brands I genuinely use, I genuinely have a passion for. And I mean, that comes after working and doing sponsored content for a long time. I said no to a lot of jobs. And I think now I'm really lucky to be in a place where I'm working with brands I could never have even dreamt that I would work with. But I think that comes through being as authentic as you can with it, and also saying no a lot of the time. Before you even know budget, I'm like, no, that's not my fabric softener that I like. So it can't. So it's a very, very much a gut reaction.
That's really interesting that you almost put aside the money, because I think sometimes that can really mess with your inner voice, suppose.
Absolutely, definitely. But it's not about that. And you know, even if there's content that you're like not 100% happy with, if you're not 100% happy with a photo that someone's taken and you're like, oh God, I really don't want that photo, you know, I don't want to put that on Instagram or something, it's just not nice to put up content that you're not 100% happy about. And so I feel exactly the same way whether something is sponsored, non-sponsored, whatever. I'm like, if I've got an icky feeling, I love that word, icky, I'm gonna use that. About it, I'm not going to feel great about putting this live and pressing on it. It's not, and then the chances are people will know that. Yeah. People will be like, oh, this is weird for you, you can't do this.
Yeah.
And so it all just is a vicious circle. So I'm very much like instantly yes or no, and if it's a no, I don't want to hear anything else about it. We're done.
Has it always been that way from the start? Have you always felt like you really knew yourself, your own brand, and your values, etc.?
I'd like to think so. This is where Mark, my husband, gets really mad at me, because he's like, you're so decisive. He is terribly indecisive. Give him a choice between like an apple and a pear, and he's like, I don't know, I'm gonna have to have both. Why? I'm quite like a yes. I'm a very all or nothing, Lily always says as well. I'm very all or nothing. I'm either eating 100% healthy or I'm eating Oreos for breakfast. And I'm pretty sure I am the same when it comes to sponsored work. Like, yeah, it's always been it's trusting your gut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes your gut gets it wrong, but I am very down for the gut reaction when it comes to sponsored content, and basically have been since the beginning. And then my percentages of turn down work are rather high, but I'm okay with that. I'm really happy with the brands I get to work with now. Yeah. Over the moon, seriously.
I think that's a really good lesson, trusting your own gut. But it's hard sometimes because there's a lot of noise out there telling you what you should and shouldn't be doing. And that's something we talk about on the podcast a lot. Have there been any stumbling blocks for you in terms of growing your blog? Was there ever a time when you, I don't know, got lost in the noise or felt lost with your direction?
I probably felt a bit lost. When I was probably up 10, blog post a week. That is so much to put up. And I can pretty much guarantee that out of the 10, like 7 were absolute dog poo. they were so snappy. It was literally one photo, 200 words, boom, done kind of thing. And so I feel like when you're putting out so much content and it's just me making the content, there was probably lost my direction a little bit there because I was just so focused on the quality rather than the quantity. And then I feel like 3 years ago, I rebranded into the Anna Edit, or maybe it was about 2.5 years ago now, I rebranded to the Anna Edit. And I just, ever since that point, have felt so happy with what I'm putting up. I've got older, I've done it for quite a while now. I feel like I know myself in the industry. I sort of know what my niche is. You know, for weird Virgos who like organization and wearing black, I've got that down.
That's me.
I feel like it's just something that's come over time, really, and I've sort of learned. And there's always things that you're going to do that, I mean, in my old vlogs, I'm pretty sure I showed my family and I showed my sister. And I definitely feel in recent years, I've kind of clawed back a bit of that privacy in that, you know, I'm more than happy to like share me, my life, my home, like Mark gets in on the action. That's great. But I now kind of know where the line is when it comes to privacy with family and friends. I'm pretty sure people who would watch, you know, a vlog that I would make now would be like, oh my God, this girl has no friends. But it's honestly because they're not internet people. They're very supportive and they're very interested in what I do, but they don't want to be vlogged at dinner. You know, they don't want me vlogging in homes. Not that anyone's even ever said that, but I just wouldn't feel comfortable with it. So I feel like the learning curve for me after I've had this kind of content learning curve and like learning what my niche is has been about privacy and working out what I'm comfortable sharing, what I'm not comfortable sharing, and sort of drawing the line, which to be honest, is forever changing.
Yeah.
When I first moved in here, I was like, I felt very strange about sharing interior stuff. I don't know why. Like, it was just very new. And yeah, I just felt very odd about that. And now I'm like, come see my bathroom, guys. Come see my bathroom before, you know, come look at this awful wallpaper. And so I feel like, it's kind of a constantly changing thing, constantly evolving. And, you know, previously I would have shown my family and now I'm like, oh no, I don't want to show my family in the vlog. Whereas now I'm more than happy to share my interiors. So it's always evolving, forever changing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a really interesting topic, I think, privacy and blogging.
Funnily enough, I was just recording a podcast with Beverly from Pack Your Passport and we were talking about this exact topic because she said, because both of us are quite, I don't know if you call us oversharers, but we definitely have in our niche the kind of vulnerable post. And we both share, you know, things that maybe feel a bit icky. I talked about jealousy once and how I'm jealous of all these people. You know, like I'm very honest. But thank you. But I have my limits. And she was saying, she is very private with her family and she will never be going home and filming, you know, showing pictures of her family or pictures of her nieces or even talking about where she's from. That's just her line. And I'm kind of the same. I've got a little girl and I do share a lot of her online. I talk about my husband, but I think my relationship is the line. For me,
I think it's so interesting. It's so different for everyone, and that's why when you get onto the topic of privacy, like it's something that always comes up when I'm around other bloggers, because obviously you know you're interested. You're like, well, why is your line there? Like, I'm interested as to why that is that way for you.
Yeah,
it's something that always comes up that we always talk about. Because in this online world that is forever growing, it's, you know, there's always new platforms to share, and I feel like I've shared my life with my viewers, but in a way that has felt very comfortable to me. You know, things like getting married, I was like, oh, I really don't want to go down like a massive wedding content thing. Not my bag. So I was like, oh, I'm getting married tomorrow. Wait. And that is what felt right in that situation. And I guess it's always new things that are coming up in life that you sort of have to have that moment. You have to look at your compass and look at where your line is and work out, is this something I'm willing to share? Yeah. And yeah, I'm fascinated by the topic.
Yeah.
I would love to like sit down with family vloggers and be like, you know, do you feel comfortable with this? Like where your line is. I honestly think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's really interesting. And there was someone that was on the podcast, Charlotte from Taylor Hearts Travel in the first series. And she is a family travel blogger, but she has two little ones, but she never shows their face. So all of her pictures are really creative and it's always the back of their head or certain angles, but she just, I've never seen them. You never see their face.
It's very interesting. Yeah. If there were ever little Anna edits to pop up one day, I've got no idea. I feel like I'd need to call like a town hall meeting. I do not know what to do. It's very new territory. It's an interesting one.
Yeah. Going back to vlogging and your kind of YouTube channel evolving and probably going from Viviana to the Anna edit, what was that big rebrand like, and how did you, because I feel like when that happened there was quite a lot of things shifting in your, it didn't feel very strange in a way because I felt like the groundwork of your content had been changing and evolving for quite a long time. So for people like me that have followed you for a really long time, it was like, okay, it's just a different name. It's your name. That's fine.
Yeah. That's really funny you say that, because that was kind of the overriding general reaction was like, yeah, of course. This makes so much sense to you, girl. Like, you should have done this months ago, which was so nice. So the story behind that was I mean, Viviana does makeup. You know, I wasn't necessarily, I got to the point where I just wasn't as crazy about makeup as I once was, which is a completely normal thing. You know, it had been about 5-6 years since I started my blog, and, you know, I'd gone from being a fake tan obsessed uni student to not so fake tan obsessed. Living back in Brighton at the time. So a lot had changed, and, you know, I wasn't sitting outside Mac on the first Thursday of every month waiting for their new launch to come out anymore. So kind of knew that at one point I wanted to ditch the does makeup and also just go to my name, because I was constantly being called Viviana, and like the poor post did not have a clue what to do. You know, things would arrive addressed to Viviana and I'd have to explain that it was me and that I didn't have identification. It was all just really, I changed it just, you know, so I could finally get my pass in the post office. And so kind of always, it was always on the back burner, but I just couldn't find the name. Anna Gardner, which is my previous name, was just sort of taken on everything. Anna Newton, I think, was available, but we weren't married yet. And I was like, well, it's very like a sunset credit. You want to buy like annanewton.com. And I think she was a wedding photographer anyway. I couldn't go down the normal, you know, have your blog as your name kind of thing. I don't have a name, so I couldn't use that. So when, I don't even know what it was, but I just stumbled across the Anna edit and it was available across everything. And that was back in the December. So I bought it all. I bought everything. I like got the accounts and, you know, spoke to my managers who were really kind at getting in contact with people from like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all these people to kind of do the shift. But it actually took, that was back in December. It actually took until the last or August bank holiday the following year to have done everything, to have created the new blog, to have designed the new blog, to, you know, to be at a point where I could literally press publish on it all. So actually over that 8 month period, I'd sort of been able to do in my head, I'd almost like made the shift already. And so I started creating content that I knew I would be making, you know, under this new like Viviana edit type thing. And so I sort of did that shift already. And I think putting that groundwork in meant that when I did the name change, people, I mean, like you said, thank you so much. People were just like, yeah, of course, this makes so much sense. It's like we'd all almost like grown out of it without being like rude to it, but we'd almost like grown out of it a bit. And it was just like shedding a skin, going to into a new one. And I was pooping my pants.
Were you?
Yeah, I'd never done anything like that before. And it was just I didn't want people to do the old like you've changed line, which is the worst line, because I'm like, yeah, of course we have, you know, grown up like 8 years, I'm almost 30. You've changed, it's fine. So yeah, I always find that like a bit of a kick in the teeth. But luckily, everyone was so supportive, so nice across the board. Like record numbers of traffic on the website, and sort of ever since then, I've just felt so much more comfortable with where my blog is at, where my content is at, where my videos are at. And yeah, I'm really pleased I did that. But there was so much
behind the scenes.
I'm really lucky to have a lovely designer who puts up with me. But yeah, I think I was on like a city break in Stockholm, sitting there recategorizing 2,500 blog posts.
Oh my good God.
Yeah, there was a lot of back end stuff to do there for sure.
Oh, it's so stressful. I'm thinking of doing the same thing myself and not call myself the Anna Edit, but.
you should, like, it's one of those things I wish that I'd done sooner. The longer you leave it, the more blog posts you have to, like, exactly. Move over and recategorize. Also, you just feel happier. You just feel like in a package. You're finally, like, where you're at with it.
I think I'm going to do it. Right. That'll be my task for the next 8 months. Luckily, I don't have as many blog posts as you, so it shouldn't be too painful. When it comes to YouTube, I am always insanely impressed by video content that anybody creates, but especially so you and Lily Pebbles are so creative and so slick. I don't even understand how you do these things, and I've tried to edit in YouTube and I found it really, really difficult. Was there a big learning curve when you were doing it? Because I know, I suppose at the beginning, you're just literally sat down talking to camera. So in terms of editing, it's probably not as labor intensive as when you're vlogging or creating travel content. Because I know also that you love writing as well. Is there somewhere that you feel most comfortable? Do you feel super comfortable with it, or has it been a huge learning curve for you?
YouTube videos. So I'm not someone, Lily always says, she's like, I'm so surprised that you do what we do, because I'm someone who's like, I'm like a class clown. I enjoy in like social situations, I enjoy like making people laugh and that kind of thing. But I'm not crazy outgoing. I'm not a huge sharer. I hate having my phone taken. I hate listening to my own voice back in video. She's like, there's so much of this that is so not you. And so it's still, even now, even 8 years later, I still sweat profusely whenever I film a YouTube video. It's still something that I feel obviously much more comfortable with now, but it is still something that I wouldn't say it particularly comes naturally to me. And back in the day, when I first started making YouTube videos, I actually didn't know how to edit at all. And so you'll see in these videos, you see me turning the camera on at the beginning, and then I talk constantly with no cuts because I didn't know how to edit. So if I screwed it up, I had to turn the camera off, restart, and then start from the beginning. And then you'll see me at the end of the video, I turn the camera off. Like it was literally, I'd sit there, turn the camera on, do it, no cuts, turn it off. And it was quite funny. I wouldn't do it when any of my housemates were in the house either, because I was very freaked out by the whole thing. And so they'd have to, you know, and I lived in a house with a lot of people. All out, I would sit there and spend hours sort of filming and refilming these videos. So at the beginning, I literally had no editing skills. I don't even think I had editing software on my laptop anyway. It wasn't until, I think after maybe about a year or two, that I got myself a Mac, which had iMovie on. And then I sort of had to learn the basics of iMovie. And in that time, you'll see there's a title card in every single video, just to prove. Just like a little like, hey, look at me. I know how to put like a little in the beginning of every video. It's completely unnecessary. You've already seen the YouTube title, but I did. So it's all been self-learned. I actually find YouTube itself is so handy for learning how to do things. If ever there's something I don't know how to do, there is a YouTube video on it for sure. It's great. I've now graduated to Final Cut Pro. Which is basically the same as iMovie. It really is. There's not that much more fancy things I feel that I do. And I did go through a phase of trying to produce really high quality, highly edited, very slick videos. I'd boss Mark around at the weekend and make him use this like shoulder camera mount thing to like take a look. Boss him around, be like, no, get lower on the floor. If you could lay on the floor, that'd be great. But now I feel like I'm at the point, and I feel like YouTube actually as a whole is at this point, but almost we went too far with that very highly produced, slick, polished content. And now the videos that I really enjoy, I'm super into Alana Davison at the moment. I love her stuff. She's one of the first people that when she puts up a video, I'm like, yeah, add into my watch later list straight away. And her videos are basically all filmed on a vlog camera and are just very relaxed, chatty, her sitting down, moving around, vlogging. You know, she's talking about something in her wardrobe. She's standing at her wardrobe and there's no lighting, there's none of that. And so I feel like in the last maybe 6 months to a year, I've sort of tried to do the same thing because that's the content that I enjoy watching. So a lot of my content now is just filmed on my vlog camera. I filmed a February favorites today and just sort of moved around and I didn't even have a proper tripod. Wow. It was all very homegrown again. I'm really, really enjoying putting out content that I enjoy watching myself and just feels very natural and not too kind of, not necessarily over the top, but just like chatting with your mate kind of thing.
Which I think is the whole thing about YouTube. That's why we all loved it in the first place, is because you feel like you're just chatting with your mate.
Exactly. I'm really enjoying this whole kind of 180 on it. And just doing more sort of relaxed videos. It's lovely.
I had a question, then I completely forgot it, which will make this editing. Oh, yes. That's what it is. So you and Lily have a podcast. Which is awesome. So I remember you talking about, because I love your beauty chat videos so much. And when you stopped them in the format that they were, I was like, I was devastated. but I remember you talking about the exciting projects that you had coming up, and then you did beauty chat lives and the podcast, obviously. So where did that come about? Where did that idea come
from? The podcast. Well, we've been working on the idea of a podcast for, I mean, I think it was a year or 18 months. And we're very lucky that Gleam themselves sort of have podcast people that are there. So if you know, it's not impossible to do, and it's quite easy to source the equipment that you need and, you know, the back end sort of stuff of uploading to iTunes and all of that. So we've been chatting, and originally the idea was around more of a work-related one. We've still got the name kind of under wraps. We're like, just in case we ever decide to do something with that. sort of a work-related one, and it was going to be in a studio, and we'd have guests in. And we did a lot of practices on our managers, on our friends. Carrie from Wish 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 was kind enough to be one of our practice runs. And we sort of practiced with a couple of people, and that just in that format, it didn't feel right. And so we sort of stumbled across this at home with idea that, number one, me and Lily are super nosy. And so the idea of like getting to go around Lisa Eldridge's home, yes, please, sign me up. And so, I mean, that was great. We're lucky that through the years of working in the beauty industry, we had quite good contacts. And so we're able to get like an amazing list of guests for our first season. Like, we couldn't believe it. And it was fun to work on a project together that wasn't YouTube, and just to sort of expand it a little bit. I personally love listening to podcasts. So I was so like, yep, I want to dip my toe in this water, because when you drink from it, you're like, yeah, I want to kind of jump in as well. So it was so fun. We have put together a list of possible guests, dream guests. There's definitely some crazy ones on there, but we're aiming high. We'll see what we get for season two. We're hoping kind of early summer we will do a season two. And because Lily's obviously got her books up at the moment. She's a book baby. And it's time consuming, as you well know. The long old slog, this podcasting thing. It looks very easy, the end product. You're like, oh, sure, I can sit around with my mates and record something and, you know, shove it online. That's fine. But there is actually quite a lot of work that goes into it. And we recorded the last one, like, literally the week that I was getting married.
Oh, my goodness.
That was pretty I was like traipsing up to London and, you know, recording a podcast and getting my nails done at the same time for the multitasking and just getting three people, you know, me, Lily, and the guest and our sound person in the same place at the same time is quite a tricky task. But we're really, really, really looking forward to cracking on with season two. Who knows, maybe it's more of a yearly thing for us, which seems crazy for all those people who put like a weekly podcast out there. I'm like, that is dedication. Serious dedication. But yeah, I love podcasts at the moment. So yeah, it's just really, really nice to sort of throw one into the
Yeah, I love your podcast because it's in the same ilk of things that I also love. I love nosy, anything kind of voyeuristic. Yeah. That sounds a bit perverted, but anything where I can like have a nose around people's, I don't know, like their real life. I love Sally Hughes in the bathroom series, so I knew I would love it. And the episode that I really liked was Jo Elvin.
She was probably my favourite. And also she's just the coolest, coolest lady. That one, because that was our first ever one that we recorded. So we basically recorded them in the order that you would listen to them, that we uploaded them. But that was our first ever one, and we were pooping our pants because we'd never met her before. Our manager is quite close with her, and she's like, oh my God, she's amazing, I'm going to love her. And so we met her, and honestly, I just fell in love with the woman. I was like, I need this woman in my life in some way. And it's really nice, like ever since we like each other's Instagrams and sometimes like Instagram DM each other, and she's such a nice woman. We left the house and me, Lily, our producer and our sound guy, who I think we'd possibly just met that day, all did a group hug. We were, we jumped up and down on the spot. I hope it was so that Joe didn't see. But yeah, we actually like hugged and jumped up and down, and it was such an amazing moment. So yeah, that one will always have a special place in my heart too.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm gonna let you get on with your afternoon, but thank you so much for being part of the podcast. It's been an absolute treat getting to chat to you.
Anytime.
Where can everybody find you online?
You can find me at my blog, which is theannaedit.com. And then I'm quite lucky actually. I'm just the same on everything. The Anna Edit. You'll find me on everything except for Snapchat, because I only go on that to see if Kylie Jenner has posted anything. you can find me everywhere except there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, see, bye.
Thanks for listening to What She Said. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you did, please think about leaving me a 5-star rating and a review if you have time. This really helps other people find the podcast and means that Apple don't hide me in their vaults. If you fancy joining my small but perfectly formed bunch of podcast fans for chit chat on Facebook, head to facebook.com/groups/whatshesaidpodcast and come and join us. Yeah.